This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
So Titans general manager John Robinson, who was Jason Light's right-hand man as the player personnel director in Tampa, has a unique perspective on Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota. That's because he helped draft Jameis Winston, and he inherited Mariota when he became the Titans GM just 2 years ago. In just a minute, we'll play my interview with Robinson, who talks quarterbacks, firing and hiring coaches, his relationship with Jason Light, and going to the postseason, and so much more. Meanwhile, the Rays win a series at Yankee Stadium. That's right, they really did it. That's the first time in 4 years, 12 series in a row, they had lost up in New York. Tommy Pham with a good day at the plate. Blake Snell with five shutout innings. We'll talk about the Rays winning a series against the Yankees. All that and more on this Friday edition of Sports Day Tampa Bay. I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times, along with producer Steve Versnick. Before we get started, I've got a fantastic offer and exciting news from Continental Wholesale Diamonds that's going to make your jewelry selection experience, well, unforgettable. And this offer, only good for our listeners at Sports Day Tampa Bay. Continental Wholesale Diamonds is sending you and that special person to a Caribbean cruise 5 days, four nights. That's right, on us, with any minimum purchase of only $2,000. Now, you get to choose the cruise line. You get to choose the destination in the Caribbean. I'm telling you, this is as good a deal as you're ever going to find. You just spend a minimum $2,000, and this is yours. And with Andy offering all those wholesale prices and the quality you deserve with your jewelry selection, you know you're going to be receiving the very best when purchasing from Continental Wholesale Diamonds. So call Andy today at this number, 813-282-7375. And remember, just let them know that you heard it from Rick and Steve on Tampa Bay, on Sports Day Tampa Bay. It's Continental Wholesale Diamonds. It's where I shop. They're at 1715 Northwest Shore Boulevard, Suite 150, right next to the Penthouse Club. So day two of the Bucks with their joint workouts against the Tennessee Titans was pretty interesting. We'll get into some details about that in just a minute. But first, Steve, I got some names for you to pick up. I'm about to drop.
Hold on. Let me brace my back here.
These are big ones, man. In no particular order. Well, yes, in a particular order. Mark Domenech was out here. You know, Mark Domenech has moved to Tennessee, to the Nashville area. I did not know that until today.
Wow.
But it's
true. I had no idea. I thought he moved to Bristol.
No, he's no longer working for ESPN.
No, I know.
He does some NFL radio stuff. But yeah, packed it up, and the family is here in the Nashville area. So it was good to see him. Also, Eddie George was out and about, the actor, not the running back. Remember now, he's like doing off-Broadway. He's doing like Chicago or something.
You know, former Tennessee
something
Titan.
Crazy. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The big Tennessee Titan running back, of course. I think there might have been a player or two. The guy that I want to talk about, though, my former teammate, that's true, world champion for the Detroit Tigers and the 86 Mets, Howard Johnson was here today. Hojo.
He was phenomenal in the 80s.
Oh, the original Hojo. Played at Clearwater High School, one of our high school rivals. And people probably don't remember this, but he and myself and Bill Bond, one of my best friends, and two other guys, we were like the first five baseball players to actually get full scholarships to, at that time, was called St. Petersburg Junior College. Howard, you know, showed up there, and we had a fall program because you can play year-round here in Florida, obviously. We played like 20, 25 games, it seemed like. But we would play Eckerd College. We'd play a lot of teams. And Howard was with us. He was part of that ball club. He had been drafted, I think, in June, did not sign. Back in the day, there was a draft in January. And so Howard was playing junior college ball in the fall and doing very, very well. He was a shortstop. I played second. And all of a sudden, what was then the January draft rolled around, and he was taken by the Detroit Tigers, and he signed. And he never played a day, you know. It's kind of reminds me of Alex Rodriguez wanting to go to the University of Miami, but he never did.
Derek Jeter wanted to go to the University of Michigan.
Michigan, yeah, and they claimed those colleges. But Howard actually did play. He played for – he had the colors, the whole deal, and he played in the fall. But he was off to Detroit and won two World Series. I mean, you know, that Tigers team in 84 was crazy good. I mean, they might – that's – I think that record-wise it might be the best one that they've ever had. They ran away with it. And then, of course, the 86 Mets. I mean, any member of that team – you could write a book about, right? I mean, it was just crazy.
Literally.
But in a lot of ways. You told me a story today. It was pretty unbelievable. I'll get into it in just a second. But he's always been a huge Bucks fan. I've known that since I knew him in high school. He was just rabid Bucks fan and sometimes would call me and always listening to, you know, to us at the press conferences, you know, when he hears my name and whatnot. But really interesting to see him. Now, what he's doing now is he's a I guess he's a batting instructor for the Texas Rangers AAA team,
the Round Rock Express,
which is the Round Rock, the Express from Round Rock, and they just happen to be playing in Nashville at this very time, playing the Nashville Sounds. So he was in Nashville at the time that his beloved Bucks were there, and we hooked up and we talked some old times. It was great to see him.
I had no idea he was from Clearwater High School. I told you a story beforehand that I remember in high school after one of his fantastic years. I don't remember exactly which year because he had a couple of them. That I drafted him number one overall in our fantasy draft the next year. So,
did he do anything for you?
He didn't have as great of a year. I mean, it was an okay year, but it wasn't the year he had the year before. So,
yeah, people forget, and I'm sure you can remember sort of the stat, but like back in the day, and even probably more so now. But back in the day, there were very few members of the 30-30 club, 30 mm-hmm. stolen bases and 30 home runs. And Howard was pumping that out with some regularity.
He did it three times.
Yeah.
He had 36 and 32 in 87. He had 36 and 41 in 89, and then 38 and 30 in 91.
I mean, all that power, you think about, like, all those home runs he could hit, and he's not that big. Like, he's not a big guy at all.
5'11", 178, he's listed on Baseball Reference.
Yeah, that's generous. The 5'11 is probably close to the truth, but I don't know about 178. But, he's smaller than me.
That was probably his playing days more than
Yeah, probably his playing weight, sure, yeah, absolutely. But he's definitely smaller, shorter than me. And, yeah, it was kind of cool to see him, man. Brought back a lot of old memories. It rained a little bit. It was a different day. It was a little cooler day. You know, we'll get into what the Bucks did at practice. But first, I want to tell you about my interview with John Robinson. John Robinson was a guy that I think Jason Light really leaned on and probably misses him today, although he replaced him with John Spytek. But they interesting story, the background of this is that Jason Light, of course, he worked as a scout with the Patriots, and he was cruising along Louisiana sort of looking for some diamond in the rough. He didn't really have a reason to stop anywhere. But he did stop at Nicholls State in Louisiana, and the linebackers coach was one John Robinson. You know, they kind of hit it off a little bit, and they went to lunch, and that's when J-Rob told him that he'd like to get into the NFL, and Jason Light made a call to Scott Pioli. They interviewed him. He got the job, and the rest, as they say, is history. So pretty remarkable, and they were very close. Of course, you know, John was pretty much brought up in the Patriots' way. You know, whereas Jason moved on to Philadelphia and Arizona before he got the Bucks GM job. So when he brought in J-Rob, he noticed that, you know, Jason was had a lot of the same principles that Belichick did in their scouting department, but also was just a little more loose. So that's helped form, you know, sort of John's philosophy. But, of course, we know how well the Titans have done. Not only did they make the playoffs last year, but then there was some conflict as well because Robinson fired Mike Mularkey despite making the playoffs and has hired Mike Vrabel, who, of course, he was familiar with during Vrabel's time in New England as a linebacker. So interesting perspective. I mentioned that he has on both Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota, and he gets into that. Here now, without further delay, my interview with Titans general manager John Robinson.
You and Jason mm-hmm. are really good friends and close.
Just delve into that a little bit. I mean, you know, you were such an integral part of him getting that thing going in Tampa, and then you get the opportunity here. What did you take from Tampa in the time that you were there that you were able to transfer? I know you both were in New England, too.
Sure.
There's a lot of influences that you have.
No question. I think I'm extremely grateful to Jason for the opportunity that he gave me in Tampa, because he had branched off from New England to Philly, to Arizona, to a couple places, and he had seen how you can do it, but do it differently.
Mm-hmm.
And the exposure that he gave me, that's rooted in New England, but it's kind of different. It's your own style.
Right.
I think that was huge for me, to see that, all right, you can, here's what you can do, and you can take what we know from our time in Foxborough, but do this with it and do that with it. And I learned a lot, you know, that way. Mm-hmm. And I saw a lot of the demands that were put on his plate from, let's say, a non-football side of things that you have to deal with on a daily basis that I really wasn't exposed to in New England, because that wasn't my job.
Yeah,
my job was to get the draft and everything ready as best as possible for Coach Belichick and Nick and Scott. So that side of the business of football was very, very helpful to me as I transition here to Tennessee.
And it's time consuming, right? I mean,
extremely.
You want to focus on the task at hand, but literally everything passes by your desk, right?
I said it on the radio yesterday. I sat down to watch the Tampa-Miami game, the preseason game, just kind of watched through it. And I finally got through it like later that night, because it's, hey, can we get 5 minutes? Hey, what do you think about this? Hey, when you... It's constant, and I saw it in Tampa, and I never really saw that in New England, because
that wasn't your role.
So, you know, him prepping me that way for those demands that are going to come across your table has been extremely, extremely helpful for me. Otherwise, I would have, you know, sat back and been shock and awe.
I got into this for football, and now everything's on my plate.
Yeah, exactly. Now I'm trying to buy vacuum cleaners.
Exactly. You also, Jason has gone through a coaching change, had to hire a coach. You've had to hire and fire a coach. What is that process like? I mean, for you, and just in general. I mean, it's emotional. It's a change. It's you know, but you have your own guy. You know, you both. I mean, Jason came with Lovey, but then all of a sudden he was tasked with moving forward.
Sure.
What was that like?
And those are not easy decisions.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you talk with ownership.
Yeah.
Because ultimately it's their decision. It's their football team.
Right.
They're relying on you for input on the direction of the football team.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a decision that, as tough as it is, you have to do what's best for the team.
Yeah.
Because that's what's going to win or lose your games at the end of the day is the team. So it wasn't easy. You know, I did a lot of there was a lot of discussions that went into the decision to go a different direction.
Sure.
And then a lot of research that went into finding the next head coach.
Right.
And found three really good candidates that we thought. Matt LaFleur, who we ended up getting as the offensive coordinator, Steve Wilkes and Brapes. And just felt like that Mike was the best fit for our football.
Right. You went with Brapes, who's not been a head coach. Dirk Cutter had not been a head coach in the NFL. So what is that like? There's a learning curve there, right, for those guys?
Yeah, there is, just like there was for me. I'd never been a general manager before, so if you're a football guy, you're a football guy.
Right.
I think
you're
kind of, you're smart enough and you've got enough common sense, and you surround yourself with good people, you can figure it out.
Yeah.
And Ray's had played in this league a long time. He had known the business of it. He's been a player rep. He got it. He's extremely football smart, commanded the room in the interview, knew when he stood in front of 90 guys.
Mm-hmm.
He had been in every seat as a player that the 90 guys looking at him are sitting in. He'd been a rookie, he'd been a free agent, he'd been an aging veteran, a special teams guy, played a little bit on offense.
He did it all. Yeah.
So I think his message resonated with the guys instantly. And he's demanding of the players. But he's also respectful of players, and he's appreciative of their efforts.
Your team,
made it to the postseason, which is not, I don't have to tell you, it's been 10 years since the Bucks have done that. Not a small achievement. What was that experience like for the organization, for the city, for your players?
Awesome. Give them hope, you know, that I hadn't had it in a long time.
Yeah.
It's the Titans. It's the Titans. We get in the tournament, and it's like, it's the Titans.
Yeah.
You know? So gives your players, there's a kind of fire in their eyes. And it's like, you get a taste of it, and then it's
you
like
want more, right?
But it's like a car crash at the end when it's over.
Oh, yeah. It's
like,
so sudden.
It slams shut. Yeah. And it's like, you could see it in the locker room in New England. It's like, damn, we want to keep playing.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's the way it is. And you get a chance to get in, and you just got to do your best to stay alive. It's not about – you got to win some early games, but it's about staying consistent. Getting the tournament, anything can happen.
Right. Well, and anything did happen. You were down 24-3, 21-3, whatever it was in Kansas City, one of the hardest places to play. What did it do for that quarterback and for your team to come back in a game like that?
I think it kind of cemented.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Our resolve as a football team that push comes to shove, backs against the wall, you band together. I think it re-emphasized what we've been preaching here for 2 years about put the team first.
Yeah.
It's all about, we're only going to be as good as the team is. One player's not going to, it takes all of us.
Yeah.
Whether it's Marcus throwing a block to get Derek on the edge, whether it's Ciprian making a big hit, whatever it may be, breaking up a pass late, him and Logan, it's a combined effort with the 46 guys that are out there in all three phases. That's what's going to get us there.
Yeah. You have a really unique perspective in that you were in Tampa Bay when the work was done on Jameis and Marcus, and you saw that decision and how it was made. Not that it was your decision, but you did a lot of the research.
Sure.
And then you did research on Marcus too, and now you have him. From your perspective, just tell me what we didn't know about those guys that you know now that was maybe not as emphasized, but is better than you thought, and maybe on the surface, it's obvious that Jameis came into the league with the reputation of guy that turned the ball over a lot, may have some off field problems. So far, that has come to pass a little bit, obviously with the suspension. But and in Marcus's case, it was sort of smart guy, 10 character. Didn't know how he would fit necessarily in a pro offense. So all those things, and then the things that you've learned about the future of them that are maybe not.
Yeah, I think first off, we thought that they were both really good football players.
Right.
They were both starting level quarterbacks that could win a lot of games in this league.
Yeah.
And I think that their personalities were different.
Mm-hmm.
And I think their personalities are. You kind of are who you are. Your personality is
You're not gonna change that. Yeah, right.
But I think I was only with Jameis a brief time there. I think he's had some good plays, and he's probably had some plays he'd like to have back.
Yeah.
And same thing can be said for Marcus. He's had some good plays and got some plays he'd like to have back.
Right.
Not having been around Jameis the last 2 years.
Yeah.
I don't know how he's progressed.
Yeah.
But with Marcus, I've seen his leadership improve. He's become more vocal. He'll step in the huddle and he'll rally guys a little bit more maybe than, it's hard to see that on Oregon tape because
you're not in the huddle, yeah.
Exactly. But when you talk to everybody there, there's like, great leader, guys respect him. And it's the same thing here.
Mm-hmm.
Great leader, guys respect him, does everything the right way. And I think, we're trying to, tailor the offense to help him some.
Right.
And I think that's been good for him over the last probably 6-7 months.
Is he better than people give him credit for as far as the ability to dissect and read and you know, because he came from an offense where nobody really knew exactly how much of that he did. I thought he did more than what people gave him credit for, but how much football acumen type?
No, I think it's been good. I think you know, over the last like I said, the last 6 or 7 months, you can see him working through progressions. We do drills. I think the biggest thing for him that's improved is his fundamentals, his mechanics.
Okay.
His base had shortened up over the last 2 years. He was throwing a little bit more off his back foot.
Mm-hmm.
He would try to escape out of the back of the pocket instead of stepping up and sliding. I think he's doing more of the latter now.
Okay. That's his fundamental quarterback.
Correct, yeah. And I think that's been a real point of emphasis here over the last 6 or 7 months is just getting back to the basics of quarterback.
Yeah.
When the building's crumbling down around you, there's a nice cozy little pocket right up in there.
Stay there.
You just slide right up and throw it.
Yeah.
So try to run out the back of the building, you might get caught by a brick or two.
Yeah. What's been the, because I haven't been in Nashville but for a couple of minutes now, but what is the city's, what is the fan base's feeling about their quarterback? And I know it's a quarterback league.
Yeah, they love him.
Yeah.
They love him. Very endeared here in this city. Everybody's a fan of him.
Yeah.
He'll stay out here and sign 700 autographs if they line up.
Really? Wow. Wow.
Yeah. They're very supportive of him. We've got a great fan base. It was really cool to see him walk off the field in Jacksonville last year and been to the playoffs in forever.
A lot of Tennessee
folks. The support that we had was awesome.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah. What do you make of this Buccaneer team? I know you haven't spent much time watching them. You tried to watch the Miami game.
Yeah, I watched the Miami game. They got playmakers on offense. And they got playmakers on defense.
Yeah.
I was there with most of those guys that were on defense.
Yeah.
Gerald and Quan and Levante. Yeah. They've had some pass rushers, bolstered the defensive front a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Grimes looks like he's still playing at a pretty good level last year. I mean, he hasn't played yet this year.
Yeah.
Mike's a tough cover. Braid's a tough cover. I liked the Jones kid they took out of USC. I thought he had some electric quality.
Some flash, yeah. So, yeah, they're looking for some explosives.
So we'll see. Hopefully we'll get some good work this week, and there's no fights.
Yeah, we don't want that. Final thing, with Winston, who you did some work on, and now he's going to miss 3 games for any quarterback or for a franchise when it's sort of an unforced error. How do you over, like, how difficult would that be, or how... You're going to play without your quarterback for injury at times. Your team has to be able to rally around that.
Sure.
But on the surface, I mean, he's put them in a bad situation. I think everybody knows that. But as an organization, how do you overcome sort of those? What are the messages that you want?
I think you just try to, if it was our football team, we just try to stress the importance of respecting the team and your teammates and know that the decision that you're going to make
affects everything,
both on and off the field. It's going to affect the other 52 guys in the locker room, the coaches who are trying to coach you, the marketing people are trying to sell. I mean, it's going to affect everybody. So you have to be cognizant of that and realize that we're held to a higher standard, whether we like it or not, it's what we signed up for. And that's the world we live in, and we've got to try to be at our best. And be mindful of all the P's and Q's that are ahead of us.
You really, at that position, you live this, maybe every player, but particularly the quarterback who's the face of the franchise, you have to be that guy, you're on and off the field your entire career, right? There is really no off button.
You got to be on all the time.
Yeah.
You have to be on all the time. Unless you're sitting at home and,
absolutely.
You got to be.
Lock your doors, but.
You got to be on.
Yeah.
You got to be on. Yeah. There's no question.
So I was here, of course, day two, the joint practices. Thank God it wasn't as hot. In fact, that we got rained on a little bit, total cloud cover. So that was kind of nice for the players to be back out there because they suffered on Wednesday, that's for sure. One player, however, one Bucks player that will be departing Nashville before his team does after Saturday night's game, and this is kind of sad, defensive tackle Stevie Tuikovalatu. Remember, he was a 7th-round pick from Southern Cal last year, 2017. He was waived a year ago, because he had a knee injury. He has gotten hurt again. He was waived injured on Thursday. He suffered for what is believed to be a triceps pull or triceps injury. So the Bucs went ahead and used his roster spot to sign former Carolina Panthers defensive tackle Drew Ittings. You know, he's kind of been kicked around a lot of different places. 6'5", 290 pounds, signed with the Raiders as an undrafted free agent out of South Dakota back in 2016. In 2017, he was with the Saints, and they wanted to move him, interestingly, to an offensive guard spot. And then the Saints waived him last June, and the Panthers picked him up at defensive tackle, but they finally let him go. So the Bucs now have him in the fold to replace Stevie T. And it's unfortunate because, you know, that's the side of football that I hate. Through no fault of your own, you end up with a freakish injury or some kind of thing that will keep you from competing, and you're done. It's as simple as that, especially unless you're, you know, if you're not a high draft pick. As far as the practice went, I thought the Tennessee sort of flipped the script. Yesterday, the Bucs were really dominant, especially the wide receivers on their DBs, not just in the individuals, but also in the team setting, if you will. And I thought that on Thursday, Tennessee really did a nice job. I mean, they sort of fought back. Adoree Jackson got it started early in the one-on-ones where he batted a ball up and intercepted it against DeSean Jackson. And then it was Adoree Jackson again who got O.J. Howard on a pass when they were in 11-on-11 drills. So a big day for him for sure. But still good work because they didn't put up much of a challenge when they all got together on Wednesday. So we'll see what happens, of course, in the game coming up. I think they probably both teams held something back. One of the things that was interesting is just seeing, you know, seeing the two teams get together, and the tempers finally did flare. I mean, you finally had some fights. They didn't get out of hand. It wasn't anything that they couldn't contain. But one time, Chris Conte leveled Deion Lewis in a 11-on-11 drill, and you're supposed to keep the guys up, and nobody hits the ground, and that got testy. You had the familiar Jason Pierre-Paul and Taylor Lewan went at it again. So that was fun. But nothing to the extent that we saw with the Jets or Washington or anything like that. And, you know, for the most part, everybody got out of this pretty healthy, and it was good work. So now they'll have a walkthrough today separate from each other. They'll just do their own thing. They should knock off around lunch or so. They'll meet again around 4 or 5. And then, of course, the big game is on Saturday. So a little downtime, giving their legs back and just do some, you know, some mental reps and things like that. So, Steve, break up the Tampa Bay Rays. They finally win a series at Yankee Stadium. Is that even possible? It has been a minute, right?
4 years. It was late June, early July of 2014, the last time they won a series in the Bronx.
Goodness, 2014.
Yep, and they go there 3 times a year. So this isn't one of those teams you go once a year and you know, take 4 years to win a series. This is 3 times a year.
Wow. It was another good pitching performance by Blake Snell. They still got him sort of on a pitch count, but I think he threw, what, 5 scoreless innings?
Mm-hmm. Yep, he did. And then they had 4 or 5 pitchers the rest of the way. I think 5 pitchers mm-hmm. the rest of the way to work the 4 innings.
And then your boy makes a nice debut. Tommy Pham comes back and has a couple of knocks, including a double. Looked like he was going to hit one out there for a second. So it was a good addition, good addition by him.
Adam Clarke got his first career save.
Yeah, how about that? After Sergio Romo, what, got the bases loaded with mm-hmm. nobody out
yep.
in the final inning?
Yeah, Adam Clarke came in and did really well.
I mean, that's the one spot I think that, you know, going forward, they're going to have to obviously address, because I don't know how much longer, you know, a guy like Romo is going to be their guy.
Yeah, I anticipate next season. I mean, if you look at the pitchers who have the stuff that could be closers, Alvarado could be, Diego Castillo could be. They may have another guy or two that maybe. The question is, mentally, can they handle that role? But, you know, I think ultimately they may end up signing a veteran to be the closer next year. I mean, they're going to have some money to sign free agents for the first time in a long time for the Rays. And I think closer may be one of those positions they are seeking.
Yeah, no, that makes sense to me that they would certainly do that. So the Rays now move on to Boston, and if it wasn't enough playing the Yankees, now they got to go try to win a series against the red-hot Red Sox, of course. And, you know, I mean, they actually are leading the series with the Yankees, not so much with the Red Sox. We'll see if they can turn this road trip into a really good road trip, and you'll be able to follow that. We'll have all that for you on Monday in Monday's podcast, as well as anything that happens with the Bucks between now and, of course, the game that they play Saturday night against the Tennessee Titans, Marcus Mariota against Jameis Winston, and others, of course. Ryan Fitzpatrick will most likely start the game, and we'll see if the Bucks can build on the momentum they had in week one against the Miami Dolphins. Hey, it's been a fun week, of course. I've enjoyed being here in Nashville. And, again, we'll talk about the Bucks on Monday. We appreciate you guys, as always, joining us. We've got all kinds of people coming aboard, not just listeners, but sponsors as well. You're going to be hearing a lot about that in the coming days. And, as always, we'd love to get your feedback. Didn't have a mailbag segment this week, but you can always – send us some questions. Happy to answer them online or even on the podcast. And you can do that by going to our Twitter handle, which is at SportsDayTB. That's at SportsDayTB, or you can reach me at NFL Stroud, or you can always email me at rstroud@tampabay.com. And folks, make sure you go see our friend Annie at Continental Wholesale Diamonds. He's got a deal for you that you're not going to be able to beat. A minimum purchase of just $2,000, in addition to getting that perfect diamond for your special someone, you guys are going to get, on us, because you listen to this podcast only, a 5-day, 4-night cruise to the Caribbean. You get to pick not only the cruise line, but also where you want to go to the Caribbean. It doesn't get any better than that. Please go see my friend Indian Continental Wholesale Diamond, and also tell them that Rick and Steve sent you from Sports Day Tampa Bay. As always, we'd love for you guys to rate and review this podcast. You could do that anywhere you can find the podcast.
Yeah, whether you're getting it through Google Play, maybe it's iTunes, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, SoundCloud, anywhere you're getting the podcast, just hit the subscribe button so it downloads to your mobile device automatically every day. Then if you share it with a friend or hit likes on those posts, that always helps us out and spreads the word about the podcast. And if you'd like to sponsor, we don't have many openings left, but if you'd like to get in, contact Monica Boyer, our sales manager, at 813-957-0836, 813-957-0836. And if you don't remember that, just reach out to Rick or myself, and we'll get you hooked up with her and get you taken care of.
Yeah, a lot of people trying to do that, recognizing the popularity of this podcast, and we hope to have some new sponsors introduced with you real soon. So, for Steve Versnick, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.